MLS Aces episode 153. This is your host, Tom Sweezy. I am joined by two men tonight. First, the self-proclaimed best team in Major League Soccer fan, Jason Vivang. Jason, how you doing?
I didn't say best team in Major League Soccer.
No, I said that you are a fan of the best team in Major League Soccer, self-proclaimed.
No, I didn't say
no,
the
no, you did.
I said out of the three of us. Everything I say gets taken out of context.
And,
anyways, yeah, I'm doing well.
And Sam Nelson. Sam, how you doing, bud?
Thank you. Fantastic. I miss you guys. Good to be back.
I know. Last week, I did the pod. I talked to Bobby Edwards and everything like that. Then 2 weeks ago was me and Jason. So, Sam, it's been like 3 weeks since we've talked. And I think
I haven't talked to Sam since 2005.
Wow. It's a long time.
Jason, I don't know how old you were in 2005, but I was in fifth grade.
I was
fourth.
Yeah. How did you do that so quickly?
Because for me, every year corresponds to the grade.
Oh, you
yeah, I got lucky. Yeah.
What was I? What year was 2005? Fuck.
What year? 2005.
Was 2005?
I would have been.
I haven't talked to Jason since then. Oh, it's ridiculous.
How old are 10-year-olds? I mean.
And remember, everyone, Jason has not been drinking. Oh, that's good. Wow.
Oh, man.
I just love how, innocent that was for him both times.
What grade are 10-year-olds? Apparently, I'm still 10 in my life.
Wait. We're all probably around the same age. I mean, you were probably in fourth or fifth grade, right?
I think Jason and I were born in 95. Sam, you were born in 94.
I was born in 94. Okay, so yeah. You...
Yeah.
Oh, but yeah, I was a grade above.
Okay.
No.
This doesn't help.
I was way behind because...
were you above or behind?
I was a grade behind because I was born 9 months early. So...
What?
Congratulations to everyone who wanted to listen to soccer tonight. This is what you get instead.
You were born 9 months early?
Yeah. I was supposed to be born in September, and I was born in July.
Wait.
That's not 9 months.
That's not 9 months, and also, is that true?
And how can you be 9 months early?
8 weeks.
I'm dying.
I meant 9 weeks.
Oh my god. That's so different.
I didn't catch it even
So Jason clearly misspoke when he said best team in MLS as well. Because everything else he said tonight has been wrong.
Yep. Holy fuck. Okay.
I meant 9 weeks. Oh gosh.
So Jason, you were 9 weeks early, therefore you were ahead of grade.
No,
behind
the grade.
Because I started my schooling a year late because I was so early.
Ah. There we go.
Oh my gosh.
That's
bro,
so
if
awesome.
You didn't say anything, I would not have caught that. Oh my gosh. I rolled right past that.
Oh fuck.
Oh, you would have caught it tomorrow when you re-listened to this.
No, I wouldn't have. I still would have been like, yep, 9 months. I'm like, wait a second. Oh no, you're right. I would have caught it. I just didn't in my mind right there.
I'm gonna try to steer the train back on track after that. Fuck.
Anyway, we're back and it's exciting.
We're back. Major League Soccer's back. NWSL's back. USL's back. Soccer's back. Just the quick little intro, I guess. If you guys want to follow us or learn more about us, you can go to MLSAces.com. Primarily, we're on Twitter when we interact. If you guys want to follow me, it's at Tom Sweez or just at MLSAces on Twitter. Jason, you are at Jason V. Vang. And Sam, you are at Uncle_SamXIII. We do have an Instagram, MLS_Aces, where I just try to update any major news that goes on around Major League Soccer. If you want to support the show and become an acehole, and if you become an acehole, you get some cool stickers that Jason designed. And I promise, I know Jason is very good at designing other than talking. He's not really good at the talking part, but stickers look really cool. If you want to join, get into our group chat and everything like that, go to MLSAces.com/donate. Some notes about MLS Aces in general. We are growing, and I was kind of cool to share that on Twitter within these past week or so. Have some new bloggers, the MLS Gone Wild boys. If you guys don't know them, pretty cool podcast out there all about Major League Soccer. I think they had Shallery Joseph and Kellen Acosta on their last two podcasts. So go check them out. Very good podcast. Awesome guys. And they've been blogging on our site. So again, you can check out their blogs at MLSAces.com. Also happy to add another podcast to the MLS Aces Circle, the 10SC Soccer Pod. Sick name. Travis Poole is hosting a Nashville SC podcast, and he just started off and he put an episode out last week, so definitely go and see that all on our Twitter and everything like that, and you can follow all the guys there. Boys, soccer is back. Major League Soccer is happening. How have you guys liked the beginning? I guess we're still in the beginning of it, the beginning of the MLS is back tournament.
Bad start. hasn't been too great. The bubble's a hell of a thing, from what I've heard from Bobby Edwards. I got to listen to his interview with you on the plane to Colorado last weekend. That was very insightful, and you know, just following all these players on Twitter and stuff, it's crazy to hear all that they're going through. And just, I mean, the games are fine. The games, you can tell these guys have not been, you know, able to go out and practice. Like,
they're really getting better. The games are getting better.
The games. Well, what's funny is the games are getting better group by group. Like.
I really love hearing the players be able to swear at each other. It's great.
I really like crowd noise. Let's keep that doing.
I'm awesome. Liking it.
Also, like, you get to hear like the coaches yelling shit to the players, and it's actually pretty informative at times.
I mean, I agree with you guys. I really have been enjoying the no crowd noise, at least on ESPN. I know Fox is pumping in the crowd noise, I'm pretty sure. And I haven't really been crazy about it, because I think during the LAFC Houston game, they were only pumping in LAFC chants, which I'm like, I guess maybe.
Is that just to us, or is that to the players?
I think it's just to us on Fox.
That's what I thought.
I think it's the TV only thing.
Yeah. So I mean, like, I know Fox is the only one pumping in the noise, so maybe cut that, Fox. Rob Stone, maybe we can pass that message along somewhere. But I've really been, like you said, the games seem to be getting better group by group and like week by week, obviously, like as these guys are getting more in unison and everything like that. The game play has been improving, less sloppy, less bad touches, less shitty finishes, or not finishes. But I've really been enjoying it. I've really been enjoying watching all of the messages we've seen, especially I know from the Philadelphia Union. It's been big with the positive messages coming out from the Black Players for Change. I know they did the initial moment of silence to start the MLS is Back tournament, which was a powerful, powerful time watching it, because I remember sitting there like watching it on my TV between like to start off Inter Miami Orlando. And I was like, wow, like this is a long time just to sit in silence watching this, and not in a bad way. It's just like you don't realize like how long you're sitting there in silence. And then like when you correlate that to what actually happened in real life with George Floyd, it's like, yeah, that's a long time that someone's knee is on someone's neck, you know? So that was really powerful, and I think all the other messages we've seen from the Black Players Coalition and Black Players for Change and everything like that have been awesome to see, and I definitely wanted to mention that and definitely highlight that. But you guys, we kind of touched on this already, but it's been shitty with the COVID and everything going on with inside the bubble. We already had two teams get eliminated. FC Dallas and Nashville SC had to get pulled out of the tournament. And I worded that correctly. They didn't pull themselves out. MLS pulled them out of the tournament. Jason, I'll toss this to you. How did you feel when you saw FC Dallas initially and then Nashville, following shortly after getting pulled from the tournament?
I kind of felt worried. I was like, oh, this is like a really bad sign, especially because the FC Dallas one came like, what, a week before the tournament even started?
Yeah.
So I was just thinking, like, oh my gosh, like if a team's already leaving now, what does this mean as like everyone is still arriving to the bubble? Like, because weren't people still coming in at that point? Like, to me, and then when Nashville got eliminated, like left like 2 days before, I was like, okay, what is going on? Like, there's a breach in the bubble somewhere. But overall, like, they handled it pretty well, I think. MLS getting them out of there. It's unfortunate for, you know, the fans of those teams, and especially, you know, Nashville's a new team. So, I mean, we all probably wanted to see them a little bit, but it sucks.
I wanted to see Walker Zimmerman If, even if you say meh, Walker Zimmerman was going to play.
I want to see striker Walker Zimmerman, but yes, I agree. Well,
that's true. That's you can still do that on FIFA.
It is what it is. I mean, it's better overall.
And Sam, I mean, this has kind of been like tossed out there a bunch. Like, it was obvious that once Dallas got eliminated, that there was this, that big open spot in Group B, right? That Nashville was probably going to take over. But then Nashville got eliminated. So Chicago became that extra team in Group A that's kind of like that bubble bouncing forth between the East and the West team. So they got pushed to Group B, which we'll get to in a little bit. But how do you think Major League Soccer, how do you think Major League Soccer should handle like the points for Nashville and Dallas during this, because like these games count towards the MLS regular season apparently. So do they just get 0 points and like 3 losses and that's it? Should they play makeup games after this if we still get a season that's going to happen after this? What do you think?
Yeah, so I think what the problem is, MLS has pulled both of them out, rightfully so, with you know, a bunch of positive tests, but with no real plan for what was going to happen. Like, MLS, it felt like, didn't have a plan ahead of time as to what all this means at the end of it. Like, what are you going to do for a team like Dallas now that they're out? But, like, Dallas is essentially a league darling. Like, the young players in Dallas are huge for the league, and they can't just kind of screw them over like that long term. And so it makes me kind of assume you're going to see something like Dallas and Nashville play each other, you know, a couple times extra as a way to kind of make up those games if they don't do anything else, just to kind of even all things out. But that's just, you know, that's just my opinion. Who really knows? I don't think MLS knows yet.
But do you want to see Dallas and Nashville play 3 times? Like, is that like an entertaining thing to you? I don't know. Like,
do I want to see Dallas smoke Nashville 3 times? I don't know. I mean, yeah, but then the thing is, like, the rest of the teams will all have equal games, and unless you're just,
games at the end of the season or something.
That could, yeah, I mean, that makes sense. The whole thing is, like, MLS hasn't thought this through as much as they have. You know what I'm saying? It's just very weird.
Why are they even starting a new, like, the season? It just seems weird.
Right, well, it's because MLS doesn't want to give up the idea of having a season.
Are they staying in Bubble Town?
No.
I mean, so, but again, the bubble was never secure to begin with. That's why we've got 2 teams. Better
than the alternative of them traveling every week.
Yeah. No, I totally agree, but MLS is acting like this is the most tight-knit security on earth. Meanwhile, all the hotel workers are not getting tested. Not that they should be. That's not their job. But, like, it's just a ridiculous problem to have. Like, the Dallas guys are all still there. I'm sure we all follow Paxton Pomacall and Reggie Cannon. They're all just chilling out on their decks so they see people because they all are, like, quarantined. Like, I'm sure Nashville's doing the same thing. I don't really follow Nashville players on a lot of platforms, but I'm sure they're doing the same thing. Everyone's trapped in Disney World. I follow Walker Zimmerman. Come on. Like, that's it.
So, one, Jason, to answer your question, why are they going to play outside the bubble? Sam's right. Like, it's giving up the idea of having an actual season. But two, in my head, it's also like, it's all about the money. It's all about the extra TV ratings. It's all about that.
I get that, but.
Well, and that TV contract, like they have to, they owe the TV broadcasters that time.
Yes. Which, I mean, look, it's like you're going to get a bunch of TV time with this MLS's back tournament, of course, between all the group stage games and everything like that. Shout out watching the games on Twitter. But, I mean, like, it's that. And then, I don't know. The entire thing is, like, it sucks because, like, Sam, like you said, it's like MLS didn't have a plan almost. But when you're listening to, like, Extra Time, and I know that Extra Time isn't, like, the official voice for Don Garber and MLS. I know that they don't agree with a lot of the things MLS does at points, too. But, like, when you listen to Extra Time, they even said, like, it's almost, like, 99% that someone's going to get a positive case. There's going to be positive cases within the bubble. I'm thinking that MLS didn't prepare for an entire team to get it, for 10, 11 players on a team to get it. But yeah, unfortunately that's where we are. And I think Dallas and Nashville are going to be in a bubble. And in realistic terms, I think that they may play each other twice and then take a loss each, and that's going to be it. You know, I mean, I don't really know how they could do this evenly after, especially Jason, like you said, after this tournament, everyone's going to be all even on games.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't really see a way. It's weird.
It's tough. It's above my pay grade. Don Garber can finish that, figure that out. So whatever. Just want to kind of run through some quick news and notes. And if you guys have anything you want to say, just interrupt me and stop me. But just going to run this through for the listeners. Matt Polster, he is back in Major League Soccer. He is now with the Revs. Rangers sold him back to Major League Soccer and to the New England Revolution. Chicago Fire got a little payout there. MLS Charlotte, they are announcing their team colors and their official name soon. I think it's actually in like 6 days. So like when you guys are listening to this, it's like 5 or 6 days from when this podcast drops. So be on the lookout for that soon. And they also signed their first player in midfielder Sergio Ruiz from Racing Santander in Spain's second division. So he comes over as the club's first official signing. Our guy, Vaughn Pullman, who is in Charlotte, he said that he's more of like a Gustav Svensson type player, kind of like, you know, a box-to-box midfielder type guy, a little bit more defensive, and he's like that level of talent. So not a bad first signing. And then Austin FC, they also went out and they signed their first player in club history. They signed Paraguayan winger Rodney Redes from Club Guarani in Paraguay. Apparently, Redes has been doing well down in the in some cups down in South America and everything like that. So apparently people were doing like freaking out about the signing. Pretty good. We'll see. Another young Paraguayan coming to Major League Soccer. But let's talk about MLS's back. Let's dive into Group A because we already have the two teams that were making it out of Group A. Philadelphia Union and Orlando City Soccer Club have won their both their first games in Group A and are making it out onto the knockout stage. So guys, Sam, I'll toss this to you first. I guess we'll do the thing where we do when we actually had a normal MLS season where you pick out a point each that you want to talk about. But Group A, Philly, Orlando, they're already out. What did you like out of this group? What did you notice out of this group?
Do you say me first?
Oh, yes.
Shit. All right. What I am most interested in has just been we all said the Union was going to be good, but I didn't know how good they were going to be. I really assumed them to be second in this group, and that has shown more that maybe that Miami was well worse than I thought they were going to be, and New York City, surprising. No offense, Tom. I'm just throwing it up because I'm looking at the screen, as opposed to how good Orlando City showed up for a team that has been essentially a laughingstock for the past couple seasons in terms of a team that came in with such high expectations, great fan base, great area. That Central Florida market is just teeming with talent, and then they've ended up, you know, bottom tier MLS for the past few seasons. It's very good for them to show up this way, but I, like we've already been saying, with this just being not the regular season, like who if they win this tournament, is it like Supporters Shield or something? I guess like if Orlando City wins that, does it
UCL
matter?
UCL spot,
like,
don't you?
Yeah, you get a Champions League spot.
Or yeah, CCL.
Yeah, you get a UCL spot. Everyone's Orlando's gonna really have a good time when they draw Real Madrid in the first round.
15-0.
Krasnodar. Yeah. Just take him out of the Russian Premier League. Let's go.
I mean, I'm just saying Muller might score a few.
Hey, we'll get to him in a second.
He's a stud. My opinion is really just like I'm shocked at how bad Miami was comparatively, and I'm happy to see that the Union are doing so well. I think that team that has been on the rise for the past few years is finally really coming together, and it's a shame we won't see like a bunch more games of them, but it's nice to see them doing well so far.
Jason, do you have anything outside of them that you want to talk about?
Sam mentioning every single team.
Oh, Jason, I hope you know I've been drinking.
Tom was like, all right, you have like 1 point, and Sam mentioned,
dude, I have no points. That's the thing. I missed all the Group A games this
you
week.
You had so all the points. You had all the points.
Are they good? Are they? I don't know who's good and who's bad.
I mean, I'm pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure we saw City two good teams and two bad teams. Yes.
Yeah, I think so too.
It was really bad. This San Jose team right now.
Are we confident Orlando's good? Are they just playing bad teams? No offense, Tom.
Okay, so
I tend to think that they're better than we might think they are.
Better than we let them be.
They are who we thought they were.
I don't think that's true. We are not. They are not who we thought they were, because like Orlando City has looked put together. Like I know that they had to have the late winner come against Miami, and Miami has looked like a better team than NYCFC. Like NYCFC has looked like the worst team in this group. So Orlando City, I mean, they're hanging on the coattails of Chris Mueller. He scored 4 goals in both of their games so far. Right now leading Golden Boot candidate for the tournament, but
instead
they've looked like put together in the attack. The defense is still a little meh, but it's not awful. Like they've looked good. And then the Union, they've looked like one of the best teams in this tournament through 2 games, and not many teams have played 2 games yet, but I mean, so far they've looked very put together. Bedoya's looked good. Brendan Aronson's a stud. I'm so excited to see him go to Europe one day, because like the kid's fucking unbelievable. I really like this Union team, and I mean, I don't know. That's what I have.
I feel like for Miami too, like they almost, you wrote Mlami here.
This is a
capital I.
It's probably capital anyways. I, but like I think it's like supposed to be salami.
Anyway, I feel like for Miami, like they've only played 4 games. 2 and then a massive 100-day break, and then 2. Like, at least they have a little bit of an excuse on why they suck, right?
And like, their first-round draft pick skipped the tournament.
Yeah, and things are still coming together for them. So I think we should give them the benefit of the doubt.
Sure, but fine. They've had 4 games to prepare, but they've also had, like, 12 years to prepare under David Beckham of trying to get a franchise for the longest fucking time. Yeah, so.
For the franchise. Yeah, these players don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, what you think 12 years ago he's like, oh, we're gonna have this guy and this guy, and we're gonna have
Rodolfo Pizarro knew what he was doing when he was born.
So Pizarro has, I mean, clearly, obviously looked like their best player across both of these games. He is their best player. He scored the goal against the Union, everything like that. Pellegrini has looked a little lost to me. I know that he was supposed to be like this exciting young Argentinian kid, blah, blah, blah. He just looks very like when he gets the ball at his feet, like so worried, and then just wants to get rid of it as fast as possible.
He probably doesn't want people to close in on him because they could have COVID.
Maybe that's what it is.
He's a master social distancer.
Like the same with like Julian Carranza, the other young Argentinian kid. Like he hasn't looked great. Honestly, I've been really impressed with Lewis Morgan, their Scottish winger. Like I didn't know who the fuck he was up until he got signed by Miami and watching him. His set pieces are like sick. So I've been really impressed.
He's a friend of
there.
The pod.
Definitely friend of the pod. And yeah, then I do just want to note Andres Reyes played his second game. He got a red card in the game, but after his scare in the first game, excited to see him back on the field and healthy and everything like that. So definitely a shout out to that dude.
He got attacked.
He fucking Dom Dwyer just throwing bows, man. Jesus Christ.
He got attacked.
I'm gonna say my NYCFC piece for you guys. And
did you type it out? Because no. I like to do that.
Oh. I didn't. This one's gonna come up.
He should have wrote it last night. That would have been the best.
You should have wrote it because then you won't, you know, go on a tangent. Although you don't do that as much as me and Sam.
Yeah, I guess I don't. I don't
also, you can check yourself a little bit.
Check yourself before you wreck yourself.
NYCFC, I think, clearly has looked diving, like... They've looked like... I want to say the worst team so far in the tournament.
You saw DC play, right?
Yeah, DC got a point, man. They scored 2 goals. Do you know what that's like?
And they got a couple of red cards.
Technically, I do, but...
Do they have 1 or 2? Oh, no, they've got 1.
They got 2.
They got 2?
Wait, what? Who are we talking about?
Red cards.
No, we got 1 red card. 2 goals.
Yeah, yes. Sorry. Okay. NYCFC to me has looked like the worst team in this tournament. The youngsters that I was all excited to watch, and James Sands and Joe Scally and all this shit, they have looked like absolute garbage. Jesus Medina.
Keaton Parks?
Fuck Keaton Parks at this point. Fuck them all. Jesus Medina. I don't give a shit that he scored an absolute like world-class goal against Orlando. That was the only fucking goal we've scored in this good tournament. Goal.
I wouldn't say world
class. I would call this world class.
Someone screamed world class on Twitter, okay? And then I just went with it. Whatever.
Someone also said that microwaves cause cancer on Twitter, but like we don't listen to him.
Also said that you can put a phone in a microwave and it will uncurve itself.
What? Oh, I've seen that, yeah.
Alright, whatever.
Worth going into.
Goddamn waste of a player.
We're trying hard.
Waste of a DP, and I'm fucking over Hazen Sedina. Sell them, gone. I don't give a shit. We have gone through a different manager every single fucking year at NYCFC because we just can't seem to hang on to one because fucking Patrick goes off to go coach in France and Dome hates the team because he disagrees with the general manager. Then the general manager leaves. We lose our GM and our head coach. And now we bring in Ronnie Dyla, who looks like he has no idea how to put together a game plan or any type of style of play onto a field. Hebert scored like 12 goals in half a season and was absolutely dominant. He looks absolutely lost. No one around him. Our best player, and probably Alexander Ring, who no one talks about being our best player. Ring is not looking like the same guy who was on the team last year. The back line looks like shit. Sean Johnson looks constantly frustrated when he's out on the field. I have no idea. And maybe this is exactly what I did last year. And you guys can remember because you were on the podcast with me.
I remember.
Where I ranted about Dome Torrent and I want him gone and fuck Dome and this team looks like shit. We're going to finish bottom of the East. I am hoping that I have the same vibes put out there, that with this rant gets put out there and NYCFC comes back and whatever type of games come after this and we just look absolutely dominant. I hope it's not going to happen, but I hope. My last thing I want to say is that in this last game, I want every single kid we have on this roster playing. I want to see Joe Scally playing at right back before he goes.
I want to win.
Fuck winning. I don't give a shit at this point. We're not doing shit. We're playing fucking Inter Miami. Woohoo. Give them their first win probably at this point. Who gives a shit? Joe Scally, I want to see him at right back before he goes off to Mönchengladbach. I want to see Tavon Gray playing center back. Give him some minutes. Justin Hackett, the mid. I want to see more James Sands because James Sands looks like shit. I want to see Nicolas Acevedo, who he signed from South America, and Juan Pablo Torres. I want to see all of our like 21 younger players. I want to see them out on the field because at this point, fuck it. Why not? Fuck everyone else. I hate this team. So, Group B. Ah.
We get into Group B, Jason, do you have to say anything? Because I would love to throw something in here.
I'm speechless, man. That was kind of sad.
It was really depressing. And so here is Uncle Daddy Sam to talk to you, Tom.
Yes, please. Talk me up.
This tournament comprises 3 games each before a knockout stage that all culminates in what will be like 5 games towards the regular season. This does not matter. And you are, I understand being hot and bothered because it's your team and you love them the way we all do. But this is a joke of a tournament to begin with guys who got what, like 3 weeks of playing time.
Two teams that aren't even in it.
Right. Like, I mean, this is just a money grab. I wouldn't care like if DC lost all 3 games. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, I wouldn't care if any team lost all 3 games because at the end of the day, MLS is going to try to come back and play the rest of the games anyway, and it's a long freaking season.
Can I say why I care, though?
And I mean, I'm glad you care because we all do. This is a joke.
If we lost all 3 games, which we still potentially could, I'd be fine with it if it was like a 2-1 game, a 1-0 game, like all this shit.
If they look decent.
That's the thing, is like they don't even look like they have any like idea of what a soccer field and a soccer ball looks like out on the field. Like,
I mean, neither do half these teams, though. That's like, it's been so long since, and especially New York City, as you know, Tom, y'all have been shut down for forever. These guys aren't getting out and practicing.
No,
like, these guys aren't getting out and running. I'm sure they're out of shape.
I will say that
Why am I defending your team?
The other worst team that I've seen in this tournament, it being probably the LA Galaxy and Cincinnati, who we'll get to in a little bit. they also looked like they had no idea, but they also looked like a fucking soccer team. I don't know. Maybe it's just bothering me. Maybe I saw this tournament as an opportunity to win the first trophy in club history. And, like, I know, Sam, like, you're rolling in your fucking, like, 13, 15 trophies that you guys have on your end. And Jason,
you're... Yeah, but he's also a fan of Tottenham, so...
Whatever. Yeah, so, like, let's be real. My last trophy was 2008 in any team that I like, so it doesn't really matter.
Also, maybe the City Group will just, you know, pump money into you guys as, you know, because they've got so much of it.
City Football Group, they give no fucks about NYCFC.
Oh, shit, San Jose just tied the game.
Did they?
3-3 with 10 minutes to go.
Oh, shit. Okay, so yeah, just a note for the listeners, we're recording this during Vancouver-San Jose. Vancouver falling apart, not surprising there. Group B. Talking about Group B, look at that.
Group B.
Transitions. Group B has been a little bit of a surprising group so far. You guys can ignore the notes on the screen because this was from when Vancouver was up in this game. But the Fire right now are leading Group B because they've had the only win so far in the group. Things could still change with the screen going on behind me right now.
Stop talking, though.
Right now, the Fire... They pulled off a big 2-1 win over the Seattle Sounders, and I feel like that's where we want to start with this. So, Jason, I'll let you have the floor, man.
I mean, this was the most... like, good I've ever felt about a Fire team in, like, a billion years. It just feels like the Fire... So I know, like, you were just ranting about NYCFC and how they've got... They don't even have any dignity in their losses.
Thanks. Just fucking rub it in.
That was so brutal, Jason.
No, you said... I didn't mean it.
Never said the word dignity. That word never came out of my mouth.
It's because you guys have none.
Thanks for the reminder.
Anyways, I'm sorry. I mean, you said it. The Fire, though, like, I just felt really good. Like, there was mistakes. There was some defensive issues. There was some, you know, missed balls or missed chances. But overall, like, I really felt good about this team and this win. And just... I don't know. There's something about it, man. I just feel like this is a different team. And this isn't a team that's just, like, depressed and, like, there's not a chance in hell we do anything cool. Like, now I actually am excited to watch them because I'm like, you know, we'll maybe take a lead and have a very good chance of giving it up. But at the same time, we might get a lead. So there's that.
There's that note. Yeah, man. I was surprised. They're
coming together for the first time in a long time.
I was very surprised with the Fire's win. I was very surprised with how good the Fire actually looked. Robert Berich absolutely fucking bossed center back for the Sounders. So that was sick to watch. And then you guys also had a lot of players step up. I was super impressed. I mean, game-winning goal came from Mauricio Pineda. I was talking about him in our group chat a lot.
Yeah,
I've heard nothing but good things about this kid. Since the offseason, he's a homegrown player signing for the Fire, 22 years old, like center back and play D mid. He kind of doesn't really have a full-time spot right now, but I'm super excited about him. I mean, for his first professional game, he has a goal and an assist. Like, kid is definitely involved everywhere he goes. I want to see him play more. I'm excited to watch him play more. But yeah. I agree with you, Jason. Like, the Fire, they had some exciting plays and they looked very cohesive, which they haven't looked like in the past 3, 4, 5 years.
I think that's the biggest thing. It's like they looked coordinated for the first time in so long. Like, I actually felt like the Fire had a plan going into this game. And I don't remember the last time I felt like we actually knew what we were doing on the field.
I mean, that's definitely fair. That's definitely fair. And, like, especially with, like, Matt Polster coming back, I know I was, like, taking shots at you, like, joking around. I mean, this win definitely probably had to feel good for you there. But, I mean, like...
We don't get a lot of these, Tom.
Did you guys have any other points about any other team in this group that you wanted to talk about? Sam, probably.
I'm kind of disappointed with the Sounders.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to think about this tournament anymore, so... I think I'm getting more negative as I go today, which is not good.
World in Group B.
I'm so baffled by this Vancouver San Jose game right now too. The soccer is so bad, and yet like it's 3-3, and I just don't care because there's goals. Like
I think at Wando the end of the day,
scored. Like
it's there's just like soccer back.
It's soccer, soccer. Yeah, it's not FIFA. It's not Football Manager. I can watch someone play. Like, it's nice. It really is. But I'm just. Yeah. I don't know what to think. I'm sure every single pick that I made is completely wrong. So
I don't even give a shit about my picks anymore. Honestly, like I am just looking at individual teams, right?
I forgot I did that.
And the Sounders, like, they're the reigning MLS Cup champs. Like, I know they lost some pieces, but they've retooled for the most part. And, like, they still have a lot of their core players back. And Jordan Morris has looked very good. Like, he's set up the Sounders only goal in the game against the Fire, and then they went scoreless against San Jose. Like, I know that was the first game back, so I don't want to judge too much on that, but they just don't look very
soundery.
Yeah, like they don't look like they still look like good. Yeah. Right, they still have their passes. Ladero's still looking good. Jordan Morris is still looking good.
They always start off a little slow.
Yeah, but
you make a very good point.
It's also
can't
maybe
afford to in this.
Exactly. Nope. Like, who even knows if soccer is going to be played past this tournament? So that's my whole thing, too, is like, sure, they have a plan for a regular season. But what if something happens? If this is the only chance at any type of title, any type of money for 2020, like, you probably want to win this. And I know, like, Schmetzer is like, he's like a big, like, I want to win everything. Like, he's a big, like, motivating guy. You would think the Sounders would be ready and motivated for this tournament, and it just doesn't look like they have been. It just looks like they're very slow, like very sluggish. And I mean, technically, they have had the shortest offseason leading into 2 weeks or a week, whatever, and then a large break like everyone else. So I don't know. It's interesting to watch them like play and not be dominant.
For now. We'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens in the third game against fucking Vancouver.
I'm saying yeah, that's a Cascadia Cup game anyway. Like,
yeah,
that's gonna be. I think like that rivalry is actually like a real rivalry. Unlike you know those manufactured MLS things. Like yeah. This is gonna be like two teams that you know they're gonna be vying for that playoff spot, and they don't like each other as it is. That's gonna be a fun game.
Well, and with if this game ends in a draw, this San Jose versus Vancouver,
yeah,
4 points could very well be, you know, that second spot.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and San Jose would be definitely put into a tough spot with 2 points, two draws. Like they're gonna definitely want to pick up a win against the Fire, and I mean, you guys are gonna have to get ready for a San Jose team that, I mean, not that they're super intimidating,
but needs
a
win though.
They need a win.
Wando knows how to head the ball.
Wando knows how to score. I don't know about head the ball, but he knows how to score.
He scored a header just a minute ago.
Well, he also missed the header. Okay, I'm still talking about it. But
wow,
but Almeida definitely has his guys ready and ready to run. So I mean, like that's out there. So Fire would have to be ready for that. So we'll see how this game finishes up. We've talked about my team, Jason. We've talked about your team. Let's go to Group C, where Sam's team currently plays.
How did that play out so well?
We've had a big Revs really win know. In this group. We've had a major comeback from DC United to draw TFC. Sam, I'll toss this to you. And I mean, if you want to talk about that DC United TFC draw,
yeah, I'd be happy to. It was the biggest roller coaster of emotions I've had in a long time. The red card, it is what it is. And then going two goals down, and then all of a sudden you put on Frederico Higuain, Pipa, and then turns it around with that chip.
Pipa still got it.
Or Pipa, I don't know. Peppa Pig.
Peppa Pig still got it, man.
That's my guy. Yeah, I like that. So that dude, like, I didn't know what to expect because he's a player coach. Like, oh, is he going to be more coach? Is he going to be more player? Comes on. That chip was a beautiful start to the year, or start to the comeback. And then the headed goal from Frédéric Briand, Tom's favorite player. It was just, it was a little bit of icing on the cake. I can't believe it because Ayo Alcaniola looked amazing in that first half. and it's a real wonder that he didn't get a hat trick and just shut down the game. And DC, there was a, you know, there's some resilience to them, and it feels good. But I, you know, the fact that we were defending for our lives, like, makes a lot more sense why we didn't give up a third. But, you know, with 11 guys on the field, we gave up two pretty easily. Mm-hmm. So I don't really know how to feel about the defense going forward. We still were playing Knauss at right back. We don't really have a consistent right back besides a guy from CDM. Our attack leaves a lot to be desired for paying that much for Julian Gressel. Obviously, Paul Ariola is out for the tournament, so that hurts us. And Edson Flores, I'm just hoping we see his first goal soon, and then it's just going to be goal after goal. So that's my hope. But we'll see. This could honestly not go well for us when we play the Revs. And do we play the Montreal. Revs next or Montreal next?
Revs.
There you go. Revs. I'm not looking forward to our game against the Revs. Honestly, I'm really not. They look very good.
I feel like
good.
You're more optimistic about this than I felt you were before.
Well, when you think about it, it's like, if you can play like that man down, like, you can do that man up. You just have to have a solid defensive core. And my real fear has been right back since before the season started back in February, and it shows. So we'll see what happens. It's, if we don't make it through the knockout round, it wouldn't surprise me at all. But if we make it through like that, honestly, it'd be like, all right.
So, see, it is a big deal. We're
going to get knocked out in the first knockout game, but... Again, it's one of those things where it's like, I don't know how to feel about the players, how I feel about the team. Yeah. I just want everyone to be healthy, and, like, you know, that's not going to happen. And my fish are attacking each other in my tank, so I'm just losing my mind, like, watching this happen.
One time I bought a bunch of sharks, and they ate all my fish.
Oh, you bought, like, those little freshwater sharks?
Yeah, and those things are cool. They were like, these aren't that aggressive, so I bought two of them.
They are... Very
that
aggressive.
Was a lie. This person didn't know how to do their job.
Oh my gosh, that's insane.
It literally, one of the sharks got huge, right? Because it just, like, chased the other one around all day. Yeah. And then it finally caught it and just destroyed this thing. Holy shit. It killed all my other fish. And I was like, what the heck? Not aggressive. I want to know what you think is aggressive.
On the bright side, you have a shark tank now.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Well...
You're
all good. Someone who looks super aggressive, like you said, Sam, was Ayo Akinola. Two goals in the first half. He looked so good. I mean, at 20, at this point, I think I said this on Twitter, fuck it, let's just throw him into the rest of the USMNT striker pool, because what other options do we have outside of Josie, and is he really even a full-time option anymore? I don't know. So, Michael Bradley, I also will give him a shout out and said he did look pretty good in this game. Didn't think we'd be talking about him this much this season after his surgery and everything like that, but Bradley playing well. Jason, did you have anything about this group or about this game you want to talk about? It's okay if you don't.
I don't.
All right. And Sam, like you said, Revs had a big win against the Impact, so sure. I will be interested to see how Bo, if he continues to hit fucking... Yeah, he hit a golazo against the Impact, so I want to see another one of those, but for your sake, Sam, not against DC.
Or just DC scores two and he scores...
Two.
Three.
Damn it, Jason.
Sam's like, wait, I didn't agree to this.
Yeah.
All right, let's jump to Group D, where we saw some crazy-ass games played out. Honestly, big wins from Real Salt Lake and Minnesota United, and SKC and Colorado just seemed to crash and burn in their first two games. So I want to talk about Minnesota's comeback win against SKC. I almost thought that SKC had this in the bag after they jumped out on to an early lead, and then Minnesota just came storming back with two stoppage time goals. Kyrie Shelton with the own goal. I mean, that was just... I don't know if you guys watched this game.
He canceled out his other goal.
Yeah, I know. He scored a goal.
Come on, man.
I think that's whoever was commentating the game with Taylor Twellman said that he, like, scored a goal on both ends. It's a pretty good day from Kyrie Shelton. But that
own goal... Well, technically, he didn't score on both ends, right? Because they switched sides. He scored in one goal.
Oh, shit. You're right. Wow. You're thinking now. But I mean, this game was like just crazy because, like, it all went downhill after Tim Melia, shout out East Islip, got the red card. They came out of the box and completely just took down Aaron Schofield. And then Richard Sanchez had to come into the game and everyone freaked out about his mustache on Twitter. but, I mean, like, from that point to Jan Gregis putting in that sick ball into the box that Kyrie Shelton put into the back of his own net, and then Kevin Molino, hot boy, hitting the game winner in the 97th minute. This game was, like, insane. This was one of my favorite games from this entire tournament so far. I absolutely loved it. I'm upset I won't see Tim Melia in the next SKC game, but it's okay. You guys have anything you want to say about that game or RSL's win? Colorado just looked like shit to me, but
RSL looked good though.
They did.
Like, they looked like one of the better teams so far. I mean, that's not a huge sample size, but
yeah, one game. But I mean, a 2-0 win's big. Albert Rusnak is not talked about enough, in my opinion. Like, he's so good at soccer.
He commands a lot of attention, I feel like, on the field. But he's overlooked from, like, people watching.
Like, he's an angry-looking guy.
He is a very angry-looking guy. He's just, like, such a threat. I don't know. Like, I love watching him play. And I'm happy that they're trying out different options at striker. I know that they tried out Douglas Martinez and then Giuseppe Rossi late in this game. But I always hated, like, last year and the year before when they threw Demir Krylak up top as a striker. Like, the dude's not a striker. So I'm happy that RSL seems to have some type of a plan moving forward. But otherwise, a pretty boring group. Colorado just looked like absolute shit, so wasn't too crazy about watching them. Everyone's fucking dark horse of the tournament, Colorado. But, yeah.
I like Corey Baird.
Do you?
I wonder.
He's young, he makes some mistakes, but I feel like there's something there.
Okay.
With experience.
Jason taking a stand on Corey Baird.
I support that decision.
Thank you.
I support the oddball decisions, and I like it. I like it. All right, let's move on. What letter are we on? E. Group E, where we saw two absolute dominating performances from Columbus and the Red Bulls. Did either of you guys get a chance to watch these games?
No.
I watched the Columbus.
San Jose goal comeback. Oh, fuck.
Yo, let's go.
Oh my gosh.
He should look a little happier.
Crippo's calling handball.
Is he?
Yeah.
Who hit it?
I don't know why. I don't know.
Jay Salinas?
Someone's got smoke in the San Jose like celebration over there. What is
pull out the smoke?
Oh my God. Rips a bong.
That's crazy. Yo.
It's like California high, Jason.
Oh my God. What is this?
How funny would that be if they just huddled up and, oh my God.
Where was the handball?
Oh, there it is. I don't know if it's a handball, but I can see what he would have thought was a handball.
Oh, maybe. And then
Rick. Oh, no, it wasn't. Oh, wow. The slow motion. Right? It was not a great goal. Oh, five hole.
Yeah.
This is really exciting podcasting, yeah, but like five hole.
Yeah, no, that's cool. You guys, if you watch San Jose Vancouver.
Anyways, yeah, Columbus like really put the hurt on FC.
They play really good soccer.
Yep. Zardes he just puts that shit away calmly.
Hey, Jason, stop talking about him.
Just brought this up. You just brought this up, and you went with the Corey Baird take, and I'm giving my take on Giassi Zardes.
I was always on the Giassi Zardes is not horrible train.
So
I was always on the Maxime Crapo train, and then this happened. So that was a really bad take.
So Jason, we're gonna flow with this for a second. You are completely right that the Columbus crew made Hella's Real look like a fucking cakewalk. Like, absolutely destroyed FC Cincinnati. They didn't have Jurgen Lacadia, but whatever. This isn't about Cincinnati. You guys lost 4-0 in the first game of the tournament.
One player's not going to change that.
Exactly.
Come on.
Giassi Zardes. I have talked bad about this man before, and I want to apologize and take back most, I'm going to say most, not all, most of the things that I have said about him and his consideration for U.S. men's national team and everything like that. The dude knows how to find the back of the net, whether it's coming off his face, his ass, his thigh, his foot. I don't care where it comes off on his body. The ball gets in the back of the net after it touches him a lot. And, I mean, I know that's Major League Soccer. He has now has 69 career goals. And nice. Thank you, Sam. And with the striker options that we have a consistently injured Josie, and we have a bunch of youngsters who have not proven themselves, from Josh Sargent to Ayo Akinola, if we want to throw him in there, to whoever the fuck else you want to say for our striker options, Jeremy Obobese and everything like that. Giassi Zardes, like, is probably our most consistent striking goal scoring option for the U.S. men's national team.
Jeremy Obobese is pretty fucking good.
He is, but
yeah, he doesn't score like Zardes.
So a brace in this game for Zardes in the 4-0 win is sick. So that's my Zardes train. And then also Lucas Zelarayán, unfucking believable. This guy is so good. Complete game changer. And I think that's why the Columbus Crew are the best team in Major League Soccer, is because of Zelarayán right there. He's number one on that train. A 2 assists and a goal, an absolute game changer. I think he's sick. So, Crew won big time. Cincinnati still sucks. Sorry.
I can't believe that San Jose just won. Holy sh! I'm sorry. What I will point out about Group E is that Game 1 of the year, the New York Red Bulls beat FC Cincinnati. Game 2 of the year, Atlanta United beat FC Cincinnati. Game 3 of the year, the Crew beat FC Cincinnati. And now, who does Cincinnati have to play? Atlanta and the Red Bulls. It's not a pretty season.
Yeah, Cincinnati already had the I guess, unfortunate scheduling where they played two of the teams already, who they're going to be facing in this group. So that sucks for them. Cincinnati, they could
have done this better. But
my only hope for Cincinnati,
it's like MLS was bad.
And I will give this to Cincinnati fans, because I know we do have a few that listen to this.
Respect.
Especially because of Travis and Nate, and I know they've pulled in a lot of listeners for us. Good for the Cincinnati market. Love Travis and Nate. And we shit on FC Cincinnati because, one, they suck, but two, and more of like, what else you guys
call
have?
To see him.
Yeah, we call, like, you know, we'll give
Andrew
you guys.
Andrew Goodman looks pretty good.
Shut up. No, he doesn't.
I mean, I don't want him to look good.
My only hope for Cincinnati in these next two games is that Jurgen Lacadia plays and he just, like, pulls a Yosef Martinez and just scores by himself. Like, he just goes off. Like, that's my hope for Cincinnati, because if I'm watching them, that's what I want to see, is I want to see Lacadia score. That's pretty much it. There's not many other guys on this roster that I'm like, ooh, I want to watch him play. No.
My over-under is 12 goals.
I think that's a pretty good number.
Per game.
I'd go over, yeah.
Per game.
I think Pele's done that before, so that's, yeah, it's doable.
I heard Lacadia is good.
He's like Pele.
But the other game in this group, Atlanta United and the Red Bulls, I know that a lot of people were down on the Red Bulls to start this tournament, and then obviously high on Atlanta because Atlanta does well in cup competitions and everything like that.
Atlanta's Atlanta.
And also because Atlanta is Atlanta, but Atlanta did not look like Atlanta in their game against the Red Bulls. And the Red Bulls absolutely, I mean, I know it was a 1-0 win, and, you know, how much can you read into a 1-0 win? But the Red Bulls outplayed them. Brad Guzan, to me, did not look great, even though he did make some big saves. The Red Bulls back line looked pretty good to me. I was impressed by them. And then, again, like, you look at Atlanta, for me, there was no connection between the back line and the attack. Like, their midfield did not do their job in connecting things. And it's like, if only there was this super talented MLS midfielder that's really good at holding on to the ball, controlling things, and connecting to the attack like you had last year in Darlington Nagbe. It's like, I wonder where you could get one of those. Oh, wait, you just sold him to the Columbus Crew. So that's all I have to say.
The Crew have benefited.
Yeah, the Crew has.
Yeah, clearly.
And Zelarayán, but.
Who's that?
Never heard of him. Tom should talk to us about him more.
I will talk about Zelarayán the rest of my life at this point.
Who? Wait, who?
Okay.
Thanks. All right. Group F.
You, Tom.
Thanks. Group F.
I want to give you every opportunity you can.
Jason, your favorite team is in this group.
Oh, yeah. And they're leading the group.
They are leading the group. Wow. You admitted to it, too.
I mean, at this point, I've told you many times. At this point, I just have to embrace
To own it. But the Portland Timbers and Timber Jason beat up on the Galaxy. And, you know, Chicharito finally scored his first goal for the Galaxy. But it was not a good game for him. And then LAFC had to pull off another spectacular LAFC comeback to draw against the Houston Dynamo. Did you guys catch that Galaxy Portland game? Because that was just
bad. Remember when you tried to start that war on Twitter?
Yes.
What I tried to do?
Over me?
Yes, I did. I did.
He said doo-doo.
I thought you were going with something about the game on it, but I mean, sure.
Oh, no. I was just thinking of that because you kept saying it was my team. But yeah, the Timbers are good. They're just good, honestly. They're good.
Are they good?
LA Galaxy, just not so good.
Yeah, the LA Galaxy, just like I said with NYCFC, it's like NYCFC don't look like they have a plan, and they suck. The LA Galaxy have a plan, and it's to cross it to the 5'8 Mexican striker in the middle of the box.
It's like they think they still have Zlatan.
Yeah, to like
it's
cross.
Like, oh, so tall, I swear.
He'll reach everything, and it's like, oh wait, shit. It's like Zlatan, but he lost 50 inches.
It's so bad. And like, and this game, they even tried switching up the formation to throw a two men up top. But at the end of the day, it just eventually ended up in continued crosses into the box. Chicharito looking frustrated. He missed the penalty. Well, Steve Clark saved the penalty, which was
sick. And the second shot.
And the second shot, yes. And that's Chicharito, nice. Good for you. You finally scored, but Christian Pavone was...
garbage time goal.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't anything. I was impressed with Cameron Dunbar. I don't know if you guys know much about him. I didn't know much about him before this one. 17-year-old American winger, played for the Galaxy. He was probably one of their only bright spots on the field. Like, he looked physical, and he looked like he fit in a professional game at 17 years old. So I want to give that dude some credit. But I guess, like, I should talk about the Timbers because they won.
Why did they only use two subs?
And because the Galaxy are stupid, man. I don't know.
Like, I just didn't get that. Like, you're they playing a tournament, the first game over like 100 days. Use two subs. All right, that's smart.
And you get more than that on a normal game.
Yeah.
I don't have much to say about the Timbers. Steve Clark looks sick in net. The defense looked good, but I mean, it's pretty easy.
Did they look good?
I think they look good just because the Galaxy are so bad, too. I think that helps, you know?
But now they just were gifted, like, a great chance to get out of this group now.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much all you have to do is, like, get a draw and you're set for the most part.
Yeah.
But I was super impressed with Eric Williamson. I went off about him on Twitter to start this game. Super excited that he got to play. 23-year-old midfielder from Virginia. Sam, I think he's from Alexandria. I don't know if that's...
I think so.
Oh, that place is in The Walking Dead. I've seen that.
Yeah.
I saw him in the show.
I didn't see him, but I mean, it's a spot.
He went to the University of Maryland and was a DC United youth player, and they sold his rights to Portland. He went to Portland for like a year, didn't play, and was loaned to a team over in Portugal
where he
didn't play. But now he's back and playing. So
I watched a lot of Williamson when he was playing with the Timbers too, because like I watch a lot of USL. I probably do watch a lot of USL, but he was like super impressive for the Timbers too, and I always thought like the Timbers never had this dude that connected Diego, like in the past, like especially last year with their struggles, they never had a dude that connected an older Diego Chara to an older Diego Valeri. And I'm like, they have this dude sitting in their two team and he's technically on the MLS roster. So all you got to do is call him up. So I don't know. I was really impressed. I was happy to see him get on the field and I think play for almost 80 plus minutes in this game. So that was cool to see. Another exciting game. I wouldn't say the most exciting because I did like that SKC Minnesota game, but LAFC Houston, that was sick. I don't know if you guys got a chance to see this game, but this entire, it was absolutely insane. going from Memo Rodriguez with the brace in the first half, Bradley Wright Phillips finishing up a goal in the first half, then Albert the least scoring, Diego Rossi with an absolute banger, and then Brian Rodriguez finally scoring his first goal, 3-3 draw, like absolutely insane. Houston just defending for their lives in the second half. It was nuts. I'm super impressed with Memo Rodriguez. I saw a lot of people talking about him, like he should be getting national team consideration at the wing, because why not at this point? And also, like I said a little bit earlier about Orlando City with Chris Mueller, people are talking about Chris Mueller getting some USMNT consideration. What do you guys think about them, and should they have a spot in the USMNT? Either of them.
Memo. Jason.
I mean, this was one game, right? Like, are we just going to make these big decisions off of one game? Like, do I think he should be looked at and be in the, you know, pipeline and be watched? Yeah, of course. But, like, I think we need to give it some more time.
For both of them, or just for any specific one of them? Like, is there one that you like more than the other between Mueller and Memo?
I probably like Mueller a little bit more. But I feel like us as, like, U.S. fans, like, jump to conclusions super fast.
Oh, without a doubt.
And I think for, and especially these two, at least let's watch them finish the group, okay? Like, they could totally shit the bed in the next two games.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Yeah. You're That's not wrong take. At all. Sam, do you have any takes
I on do this? Like that we have these possible options.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Jason. I think it's got to take more time. Mueller would be really cool to kind of see, but I think that's got to be a January camp option, in my opinion. But I think
January camp. For sure.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the time for this. But January camp feels like the right time for them and a couple other of these guys. Like, I will probably see Williamson at the next January camp, maybe even too.
I hope
that I mean, if he's going to play that way, maybe. But I mean, that feels more right to me, honestly.
Jason, I think you brought up a really good point that, like, you know, we jump to conclusions really fast as a USMNT fan base, because I think, like, we just want, like, the next big player, or we want, like, another big player, like, really quickly. And whether that's Memo Rodriguez, Chris Mueller, whoever it may be next down the list, right? We freak out because a 16-year-old signed for Schalke and yeah, he's going to play for them in 2 years. The kid could leave 15 times to go to a bunch of different clubs. Like, you know, it's, we don't know what is going to happen, and we hope, right? But
there's nothing wrong with that hope. I just think that sometimes we just got to, like, pump the brakes.
No,
That being said, Christian Pulisic is the best player of all time.
He's the GOAT, and we know it.
And Weston McKennie's going to Liverpool, right?
Yeah.
Apparently.
Put in the books.
Those two guys in specific, Chris Mueller and Memo Rodriguez, I am high on. I like them a lot. I don't think that everyone needs to, you know, make a USMNT, like, their first cap at 21 years old, 19 years old, and be a star, right? We also have to realize, like, we're going to have, like, probably average players play for the USMNT and get their first cap at, like, 26, 27 years old, something like that, right? So Memo last year scored 7 goals from the wing. He was pretty good for the Houston Dynamo, and I think kind of made a little bit of a name for himself. I am hoping this year he takes another step forward, and maybe he can hit that 10-plus goal mark. I mean, he's already on that path in 2 goals in 3 games. And, I mean, the same thing for Chris Mueller. Again, it looks like he's taken that step up, especially from last year where he looked good, and now this, hopefully we can see him look even better. He's right now, I think I said at the start of the podcast, but the golden boot leader for the tournament right now, 4 goals in 2 games. So some young Americans to definitely keep your eye on, but like Jason said, don't get too excited about them from the beginning, because I mean, we don't know where they're gonna go.
Not too excited.
Exactly. I said too excited. Yeah. Be excited, yeah, but not too excited. Yeah.
Don't double that word too.
Too.
I don't even know what to say next.
Do you have to say anything?
I mean, I do. I do have to close it out and say this has been another episode of the MLS Aces podcast. I'm excited to watch more MLS is back just to get people on the field. You know, I want to watch. I want to watch more MLS. Like Sam said, it's exciting just to see these guys back playing soccer, whether winning this tournament means anything. But that's all I got. Sam, Jason, you guys have anything you want to say?
I say tell your friends to listen to the podcast, but to skip the first 10 minutes.
I mean, one, Jason, sure. Very good point. Tell your friends. If you're an MLS fan or you know other MLS fans, tell your friends because, I mean, I'm going to throw this out there. We do a pretty damn good job for, like, usually 10:30, 11 o'clock at night on the middle of a week. So we do a good job. I hope you guys enjoy listening. I shout out Australia and Denmark because apparently we're superstars there. Nope, it was Denmark, Sweden, right? Yep.
Yeah, Denmark, no, Sweden. It was Australia, Sweden.
Nope, oh, Australia, Sweden.
Nope, Denmark.
I'm looking it up. I don't know. It was Australia, Sweden. Wait, where did you post it?
Denmark, Sweden, Australia, and America. We're big. Just know it.
You said we're huge. It says Australia and Sweden. Boom.
Well, what up, Aussies?
they call it soccer, so I like them better.
Sorry,
anyway.
Good day, soccer.
Soccer.
Yo, wankers.
Bye guys.